I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own. But the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these. Because I am going to the Father, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, Father Almighty, we, your children, are here to worship the I Am that you are. Give us this day a double portion of your presence, of your peace, that we might be your children, redeemed by your work. Amen. Sometimes it's easy to pick on the disciples. They can seem quite dense to us at times as we read through the scriptures. So we can find ourselves sitting back and chuckling at how they don't quite ever seem to get it. That Jesus seems too far beyond their grasp. So it's pretty easy sometimes to chuckle at them, to laugh at their expense. But then when I find myself tempted to be amazed by how much they miss, I remember that these scriptures which we have, these gospels, this good news, was written by the same group of people. And I have to think to myself, if I were writing this story, I'm pretty sure I would write it in such a way that I look a little better. That I don't look quite so clueless, or unaware, or dense. I might write a story and tweak the truth just a little bit. Poor Philip. He committed the sin of opening his mouth. And so, in so doing, revealed that he just didn't understand. He just didn't get it. Have you ever heard the saying that it's better to be thought a fool and remain silent than to open your mouth and remove all doubt? The other disciples probably aren't much different from Philip. Hopefully my sermon is not quite that painful. The other disciples probably aren't that much different than Philip. You see, they probably don't understand. They just were the ones that thought to look around a little bit more and try to make eye contact to see, are you going to say something? Because I'm not getting this either. This clever saying about keeping your mouth shut so as not to be thought or proved a fool is helpful as for some of us who might struggle with discretion about when to speak. But for others, it can also just bring about plain old paralysis, an unwillingness to do anything. Well, let's come back to that later. So as I said, it can be easy to roll our eyes and place our arm around Jesus and lean and just say, Jesus, they're just not getting it. These guys you're hanging out with, I don't know where you found them, but they're just not getting you. They're not quite like me. I get you. We're on the same page, right? And we can find ourselves saying along with Jesus, has Jesus been with you the whole time and you still don't know who he is? But if we read and we turn the page back, if we read before that, we can see in chapter 13, verse 33, Jesus says this, "Where I am going, you cannot come." And then later he says, "Love each other as I have loved you. And I have called you friends." And then to Peter later, he says, "You're going to betray me. Not once, not twice, but three times. And I'm calling you friend." And then not too long after this, "Where I am going, you cannot go," Jesus tells us, "Don't worry, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And you know where I'm going. You know the way." No, we don't. You just told us we don't know the way, that we can't go where you are going. And so it's easy if we read at a surface level just this little bit of scripture to think, I get this. But if we read Jesus, we can see just how confusing, how troubling sometimes it can be to hang out with this guy we know as Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't know. And so Thomas would have been better off maybe just to keep his mouth shut. It's tempting to judge the disciples, to see them as simple-minded, to see them as hasty decision-makers that are prone to making mistakes. If only they would take a moment and think about what's going on. Maybe then they could understand. But remember, we just did that. We looked back and we saw Jesus' words seeming confusing, if not maybe a little contradictory. You see, the theologian in me wants to lean back in my chair and maybe stroke my beard a little bit and say, let's give this some good thought. I don't know if I want to say anything yet. Let me just stay in here where it's safe. Let me just stay in my mind. Let me wait a moment before I do anything. The theologian in me wants to mull these things over and over and over and think about, what do you do to follow someone who says, you can't follow me? You don't know the place where I'm going. You can't get there. It puzzles the brain and it can be frustrating. But I think it's also kind of fun to think through these things. It's like a challenging puzzle that can be irritating at times, but you always find yourself drawn back to that table to try to find that piece that you think, if only I find this piece, then the rest of the puzzle will fall into place. It's tempting to play with it, to just enjoy the playground of the mind and think about things, to not ever actually do anything with this text and with the words of Christ. It's tempting to do this even more so when we look at Philip and Thomas and see them as examples. I'm not opening my mouth after that. I'm not saying anything. Jesus, go, we'll follow, and I'm just going to keep a tight lip. It's a lesson I learned when I went off to college. To keep my mouth shut so as not to be thought a fool. It's intimidating to be in a classroom as someone with a much higher degree, probably more intelligent. And not only that, I might be sitting in a class, I don't know these people, they might be juniors and seniors, they might have already unlocked all the mysteries of the universe. And so it seemed safe to keep my mouth shut, so that maybe they would think I wasn't a complete and total idiot. I didn't want to remove any doubts. But that was a kind of paralysis. Being afraid to say anything for fear of being wrong and thought foolish. Lord, we don't know the way, the place where you're going. How can we know the way? Maybe Thomas's words come from a position of fear, fearing failure, failing because of ignorance or an inability to know the future, to see where Jesus is going. But this statement also prompts Jesus to respond and give an identity, a marker of what his followers would come to know themselves as. I am the way, and you know the way. You know me. I am the way, and you know the way. Thomas, Philip, and the other disciples came to know themselves as followers of the way, long before they were ever called Christians or self-named themselves Christian. I am a follower of the way. We too find ourselves as followers of the way. And yet this way is strange. It seems to go in the wrong direction at times. You see, we follow a crucified Savior. And yet we find ourselves struggling with self-preservation. You see, we follow Jesus, the one who was hung up on a cross meant for ridicule and shame. And yet I desire to be seen as wise and long for the respect of our peers. We follow a risen Lord, and yet we find ourselves struggling to be transformed by that resurrection. This way is strange. This way is foreign. This way is scary, and it is dangerous. The martyrdom of Stephen speaks to the way that this way brings us to. A death to ourselves, a word of forgiveness and begging mercy of those who have no mercy for you. This way is strange. Seniors, Blake, Morgan, Megan, Tara, you are about to start your way down a new path, down a different path. New experiences, new things. Learn in new ways. Learn from new relationships. Have new relationships. Learn from college professors instead of just your school teachers, right? Because they don't know anything, right? Facetious. Okay, that may not come across. But you are about to embark on a new path. And as you go forward, I urge you, I encourage you to know that you're going to fail. Expect to fail. At least expect to fail in the eyes of the world, if not in the eyes of your professor. And I encourage you, when you do fail, to deal with it as you see the disciples, as John dealt with it, in painting a true picture. Being honest about your failings, owning your failings, and learning from them. Do not fear looking foolish so much that you're afraid to open your mouth. For in opening your mouth, you are becoming open to being transformed, to receiving knowledge which you yearn for, by asking the questions which everyone has, yet very few are brave enough to speak. And as you learn this new knowledge, this new wisdom, which is capable of unlocking the mysteries of the universe, try not to get too caught up in your own wisdom and your own knowledge. Church, today we must hear Jesus telling us to follow him to the cross. A very strange way. A very dangerous way. A kind of failure in the eyes of the world. So that we may triumph in resurrection. For that is the way which leads to life. That is the strange way we get to where we're going, through this resurrection. But first, we must come to the cross, to die to ourselves, in order that we might rise again. Hear Jesus telling us that if we believe, we can do greater things than Christ did. Greater things than these. I don't know about you, but that passage in John 14 where Jesus says those words that are printed on the front of the bulletin this morning, that we're expected and can do greater things, I find incredibly troubling and uncomfortable. Because I'd really like it if somebody else would just do that work for me. Because it sounds really difficult. Healing the sick, caring for the poor, those who are orphaned, who have no one to love them, and those that really don't deserve our love. That sounds really hard. But we must do these things, and we must do them. And in order to do them, we cannot fear failure. We cannot fear rejection. If we are expecting to be lovers of the unlovable, expect rejection. Expect rejection when you say, I know the way to eternal life and it's through death. What? Do you realize what you're saying? And finally, church, I urge you to look again at verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe the works themselves. You see, in this and through this, Christ promises that he is in union with the Father, in unity with the Father and with the Spirit. And so, when we are becoming in unity through worship with Christ, this risen Lord, which we say Alleluia to, we too are being made one with God. Christ is promising us unity. And that's really hard. Unity is hard. There's unity in following the way. As Christ is united in the Father, so we are to be united with not only Christ and the Father and the Spirit, but with each other. And if you thought unity with Christ and God was hard, just wait until you try to be in unity with your brothers and sisters. Can I get an amen? And if we fear failure as the church, our first action should be prayer. Do you see that? If you ask for anything, in my name, I will give it to you. Suddenly, the work doesn't seem too hard. Because suddenly I realize it's not my job. that my job is to give up, to pray, and not to hold my nose ever closer to the grindstone until I get it right, but to open myself up, to relax those muscles in my shoulder and those muscles in my back, which become tired by dwelling on my own things and my own work so much that I've forgotten to look up and to realize that there are people around me capable of helping me with this work, and that I serve a God and a Christ, a risen Lord, that has promised to be with me, that has promised that if I ask it, it will be granted. Of course, all that is only relevant, I suppose, if we take Jesus at his word. So, today, seniors, church, let's be more like the disciples in the days to come, in the weeks to come, and in the journey to come. Let's be less concerned, and I'm having to speak these words to myself. Let's be less concerned with looking smart and more concerned with following Jesus and making certain that we know the way, not a roadmap, but that we know Christ. We serve a risen Savior. Let us be of one mind, in, with, and through Christ our Lord. Amen.